The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C.
You know, I've said this before. I've listened to this song for close to a quarter of a century. And tonight, I just picked up a line that I've never paid a lot of attention to. Cardboard signs in the streets. I wish it were as simple as that. We live in a society today where some of the major cities in this country, people are living in cardboard boxes. They can't afford a pen or a marker or anything else to write a message on it, to write a sign on it. That's what we've stooped to. I listened to John's closing comment in the last hour. 30 days behind on bills, and get your donations in. What does this network mean to you people? I've been back with this network now since August. I've been away since October of 2014. I am personally shocked at the radical change that this network has taken, not in the quality of the information that is put out on the airwaves each and every day, but in what I believe is the general lack of support by the listening audience, who are either of the mentality that they want something for nothing. It costs money to run a network and to bring people on the air every day, and we're giving up our time that could be spent elsewhere. Or maybe America's economy just is not as good as what certain people are telling us it is. Maybe you're broke. You're having a hard time keeping decent food on the table. Maybe you're amongst the 45 million people that are drawing food stamps in this country today. A large percentage of them don't deserve them. They're just lazy sons of bitches that want something for nothing. They want the rest of us to pay for it. Maybe some of you tune in because this is your mode of daily entertainment. Except that it begins in the morning when you get up. And it goes on until the last live show. Or maybe you stay up half the night listening to reruns because you miss some of the programming. How much money do you pay to go to a movie once a week? And take your wife and a couple of the kids, or maybe the grandkids. How much money are you spending on beer? Most of it's nothing but colored junk. I was raised on good beer. The Deutscher stuff, the good Europeans, the heavy stuff. I don't even drink cold beer. I learned to drink beer the European way. I like it room temperature. I can draw the flavor out of it. But I don't like my programming room temperature. You see, I like the programming hot. I like the information to be beneficial, something that can teach me or guide me or give me new thoughts about the direction I may wish to take my life, or help take the life and the survivorship of this nation. But no, everybody wants something for nothing. I am somewhat shocked at the general lack of response to the listeners. I mean, I don't even know what the listenership is of this 2 hours a week that I bring to you. And by the way, just for your own personal edification, I'll not waste my time with a commercial offering tonight. Because that's what it's become, a waste of my time. Not for my benefit, although it certainly helps, but for the benefit of the network. When I first reconnected with John Stadtmiller in August of 2005, it was a whole different world we lived in. I'm talking about from the standpoint of precious metals. I made some very good money. The network made some extremely good money. The network was able to cover their expenses easily. Because people that were listening at that time understood the importance of a long-term insurance policy, the ownership of gold and silver. The audience that's come since, they either don't get it, or the internet's taken over to the point that we don't have a chance of putting an ounce of gold or even an ounce of silver in your pocket. It's not for the purposes of making a sale. It does help us. There's no two ways about it. It's for the purposes of the importance of what 5,000 and 6,000 years of economic history has taught us. But either you people don't get it, you can't afford it, which I understand, or you decide to get on the internet and go shopping elsewhere and screw the network. I'll listen to them. I'll take their advice. I can get entertained, but screw them. I'm not going to buy any metals from them. What do you want, junk silver? You want some 10th-ounce, quarter-ounce gold eagles? Some Krugerrands? You want some sovereigns, some old British sovereigns or newer British sovereigns? Maybe you want some American silver eagles or 1 ounce silver rounds. Or maybe you just want to be entertained. Take your pick, folks, because I don't have time to sit around entertaining you. I come to the airwaves pretty well prepared with a complete agenda for an hour. And I'll tell you what, I've got one tonight. And I hope it shakes you to your very core. Why waste my time giving you market reports? They don't mean anything. It's just something we've become accustomed to fill in time. So the Dow's up, the Dow's down. Who cares? I'm going to assume that those of you who are listening have either got so damn much money into cryptocurrencies or so much money into the Dow that's being so carefully manipulated by your broker with his churn calls. I got word today this particular stock is going to go down. It's got some bad P&Ls. Sell out. But I got one over here that'll do you just fine. Never, ever, ever in the nearly 30 years that I've been in the business have I ever picked up the phone and called a client and said, Joe, or Sally, or Ginger, or whoever it may happen to be, the Krugerrand is falling out of favor due to political reasons. You better sell it now and buy American Eagles. Or better yet, why don't you buy some U.S. $20 certified gold coins? Oh, they're non-reportable. They'll make you so much more money. When gold goes up $100, these go up $200 and $300. That's all a bunch of crap. And yet there are dealers out there that are still hawking that lie. You guys don't want to hear the truth. No, you really can't handle the truth. How many do you think have tuned out already? They don't like hearing the truth, huh? All right, so just to jerk your string a little bit here. Dow Jones had another good day. 5 days in a row, they're back on the upswing. Sink them and suck them in, right? You know. Up 307 points today to close at 25,200. S&P 500 was up 32.5 to close at 27,3120. NASDAQ up 112 points today at 72.56. Global Dow was even up. Oil was up 12 cents. Back to $61.45 a barrel. Yeah, I had to go fill up at a station this morning I don't particularly care to go to. They're up 4 cents higher than the guy down the street I prefer to go to. But I wasn't sure I'd have gas to make it down there. I don't generally run that low, but got a lot going on last week. Over on the precious metals side of the aisle, once again, what do you people care? Rhodium up 20 big ones today. $1,690 an ounce. Palladium up $16 at $1,008. Platinum up $5 at $1,000 even. Woo! Still $352.70 an ounce lower than gold. Never in my life have I known platinum to be that much lower than gold. Ever, ever, ever. Silver in the aftermarket flat at $16.84. You know what it was at this time last night? Roughly $16.93. So it's off a few pennies from last night. Some of the headlines we look at. Wall Street may have found another index that they can rig. Oh, yeah, on Monday, an anonymous whistleblower sent a letter via his lawyer to the Securities and Exchange Commission and the FTC charging that traders were manipulating the stock market volatility index known as the VIX. Whistleblower said that a flaw exists in the VIX that allows trading firms with sophisticated algorithms to move the VIX up or down by simply posting quotes on S&P options and without needing to physically engage in any trading or deploying any capital. Nasty stuff. Every few months we watch Congress, both houses, get together and start threatening shutdown. We got to increase the debt ceiling. Why do we even pretend that there is a debt ceiling? What the hell for? Because the current debt ceiling has been suspended until March of 2019. The current amount of the Treasury debt outstanding is $20.681 trillion. And it's been estimated the amount of Treasury outstanding by March of next year will be as high as $22 trillion. And so the U.S. government has, for all intents and purposes, operated without a constraint on debt issuance since 2013. What's the point? What's the point of having laws in a country that its own government ignores their own laws? Another area that affects so many of us, Social Security. Sometimes known as a social program. What the hell does that mean? A social program? That sounds to me like a dance. Well, I guess it is in one form or another. Millions of Americans will lose access to life-saving programs because the GOP gave $1.5 trillion in tax cuts to the rich. So those wondering how Trump plans to pay for the $1.5 trillion in tax cuts for the rich he signed into law last year, got their answer recently. The White House unveiled its 2019 budget blueprint that calls for $1.7 trillion in cuts to crucial safety net programs over the next decade, including $237 billion in cuts to Medicare alone. A decade from now, I'll probably be dead anyway, or wish to God I was. I don't have thoughts, suicidal thoughts. I never have had in my life. Amongst the best 21 months in my life began a half a century ago, 50 years ago, when I landed in Vietnam. Yeah. What do you mean, amongst the best 21 months? I learned a lot. I learned about people. White people, black people, Asian people, Vietnamese people, Korean people. I came out of Vietnam with two friends, one of whom was the best man at my wedding 7 months after I got out of the service. The other is a guy that found us some years later through a quirk. We weren't baby killers. I'm sure there were some that were. But like all wars, they serve one purpose. They line the pockets of the rich and infamous. The number of civilian, American civilian employees over in Vietnam that were representing the likes of what became known as Halliburton and other companies, they're the ones who cleaned up. Young kids died because of it. You don't find that kind of stuff sickening, huh? To me, it is. Understand a few things about the social program cuts. We impose severe austerity on domestic programs that primarily benefit the poor and the middle-class Americans. Trump's proposal also aimed to hike the Pentagon's budget to $716 billion, a 7% increase from his 2018 request. He wants to provide $18 billion for the wall. I've given you my opinion on the wall. It's a waste of money. Take away the incentives. It'll be a lot less expensive, and the illegals will go home. The Trump budget, according to Bernie Sanders, now I'm not a lover of Bernie Sanders, but there are times the guy says some right-on things. He says the budget is morally bankrupt and bad economic policy. Of course, critics were quick to note that such severe cuts to health care programs that serve the elderly, the disabled, and the poor will likely come with a body count. Millions of Americans will lose access to life-saving programs because the Republicans gave $1.5 trillion in tax cuts to the rich. In addition to calling for potentially devastating cuts to health care, food stamps, other components of America's already withering safety net, Trump's budget also calls for large cuts to environmental programs. $598.5 million from the EPA alone. Good, screw them. Shut them down anyway. They're a waste of time. Shut down a lot of these government operations. We can save a lot of money that way. Rhea Sue, president of the Natural Resources Defense Council, said on Monday, Trump's budget is nothing short of devastating for all Americans who value clean air, safe drinking water, and protected public lands. Well, that's a tough call. I tend to agree with Rhea. Safe drinking water? Go to Flint, Michigan. You get all the safe drinking water you want. Not. Now keep in mind, though presidential budget requests are non-binding, they're a strong indicator of the White House's goals and values, which are pretty bad in my opinion. I'm not a Trump lover. I'm not a hater. It's just stupid, the direction that people go with all of this. It's just stupid. Give me just a second here. Had to post a note to the producer. It's just a request. I'd appreciate that. I need every bit of time I can get here today. Every second of time. I'm telling you, people, I have no commercial venture tonight. I'm not coming out with a special offering for gold or silver because I'm finding it's a waste of my time. I got to go back to ground one with you people. I got to lay the foundation. Do you understand just what kind of deep doo-doo we are in? All right, so when Trump released his proposed budget for 2019, on the heels of his only legislative accomplishment to date, which was the massive tax cut that favored the wealthiest individuals and corporations, Trump's budget would slash or completely eliminate core anti-poverty programs that form the heart of the U.S. social safety net. Childhood nutrition to care for the elderly, job training, blatantly violates one of his key campaign promises, which was to leave untouched Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. The Trump budget's a document of towering immorality, a wish list of extreme right-wing cuts to federal spending that would destroy a century of progressive legislative achievements. Congress will be in recess for the next week. They elected representatives who support Trump's cruel agenda should expect a wave of opposition as people organize resistance from coast to coast as these bums all go home. The budget is the budget of the Koch brothers. It's the budget of the billionaire class, and the American people understand that, according to Bernie Sanders, who went on to say this is a budget which will make it harder for our children to get a decent education. They don't get a decent education now, Bernie. They get a lousy education. The things that I see completely misspelled on Facebook are sickening. And I go in there and leave an opposing comment to kind of chide people for the way they misspell things, misinterpret the English language, misuse the words. Sanders says it's going to make it harder for working families to get the health care they desperately need. Oh, is that why you supported Obamacare? Because that was going to give them what they really need? It was no better than what was going on now. It's going to be harder to protect the air that we breathe and the water that we drink, and harder for the elderly to live out their retirement years with dignity and respect. It's not a budget, as Trump talked about. That takes on the political establishment. This is a budget of the political establishment. It is the Robin Hood principle in reverse. A budget that takes from the poor and gives to the very wealthy. Now, Seattle Congress critter Premia Jayapal calls it the three strikes you're out budget. And she explained on the Democracy Now! NewsHour, strike one was to actually transfer $1.3 billion in wealth from working folks to the poor to the wealthiest through the GOP tax scam. To their credit, they're finally saying in this budget that those GOP tax cuts don't pay for themselves because they're projecting enormous deficits as a result of the tax cuts. Strike two is they're essentially going to balloon the deficit $7 trillion over 10 years. $1 trillion next year alone. And strike three is cutting every program that allows people to live with any shred of dignity, any shred of hope, any shred of opportunity. No. The federal budget is a massive document representing $4.4 trillion of spending for just 1 year. And yet the Republicans have long claimed that cutting the budget and eliminating budget deficits is their raison d'etre. And now with both houses of Congress and the White House under Republican rat control, which is bullcrap, they're not. They have apparently abandoned their principles. They always do. You think the Democrats haven't abandoned their initial principles? Yeah, actually, they've stayed closer to some of theirs. You know, they're the ones that didn't want to give blacks freedom to vote, freedom to live. You know, most of them were KKK guys. It goes on and on and on. They're all crooks. They're all liars. I hate both parties. I have no use for a single person that I know of sitting and serving themselves in Washington, D.C. Not one. Not one is there out that I would sit down and have a drink with. But we're going back to the future, baby. Mitt Romney. Woohoo! Did he announce today he's running for the Senate up in, you know, for Orrin of the Hatchet Jobs job? I don't know. I don't care. There is no draining of the swamp. We're just bringing more swamp critters into it. So we get this spending bill passed with bipartisan support on February the 9th in order to avoid a government shutdown. It increased military spending. That was a Trump priority, as well as spending in domestic programs, which the demagogues wanted. It also raised federal borrowing limits and spending caps. Why do we have to repay a debt to what? The Federal Reserve? For what? It's our electricity that we taxpayers are paying for that's running the printing presses for every single bill that the U.S. prints. I don't care if it's a dollar, a two, a five, a ten, a 20, a 50, or a $100 bill. The cost of paper and printing and ink is 2 cents per bill. We turn around and hand it over to the Federal Reserve, who loans it back to us. Wait a minute. We just printed it. It's ours. Screw you, Federal Reserve. And they turn around and loan it back to us at interest. You think your taxes are going to pay down the federal debt? They're going to pay the interest on the federal debt. The debt never goes down. Hey, Congress critter Giappel, Congress member? Oh, please. As an example, let's just look at SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. They're proposing a $213 billion cut to SNAP so that people have to work in order to get those benefits. Good! But three-quarters of all the SNAP recipients are the elderly, the disabled, families with children. And the average person per meal benefit that the people get on SNAP is $1.40. $1.40? What the hell can you eat for $1.40? Wait a minute! McDonald's has a dollar meal again, man! Oh, but you got to pay $1 to get a drink, so up, oh, you're in the hole already. Similar changes are proposed that can cut funding to Medicaid, Social Security, disability insurance, blah, 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 blah. Housing assistance, good! Enough is enough. People have been leaning on this stuff and milking this stuff for years. We create generation after generation after generation that just takes and never gets off their butt to try to give back. I would rather work and make less money than I would take on government handouts just so that I could actually feel good about myself. Of course, there's a lot of Beltway observers concede this Trump budget has almost no chance of being passed, but these are the same people who said Trump had no chance of being elected. But the budget relays a vision for the country held by the president and the Republic Rap Party. And this budget deal signals a dark, heartless, and cruel future, exacerbating poverty, inequality, and suffering. But that's okay if you want to eat. You can do it. In the army. That's right. All that big expansion they got for the Defense Department, you can join the military, guaranteed 3 squares a day. And who knows, guys, you might even get to go to take a shower with a tranny. I'm not talking about what you shift gears in your old 3-in-a-tree Ford or Chevy pickup either, okay? We, the people, ladies and gentlemen, cannot afford this budget. And why? Because federal budgets, all federal budgets, are worthless. They are completely meaningless. It's a numbers game. It's a vote-giving game. That's all it is. Reactions to these proposals run along predictable party lines. The party occupying the White House lauds it as a sober and responsible reflection of the nation's priorities, but the opposition party insists it will kill the babies and bring about the general downfall of the nation. Wait a minute! The Democrats are all of a sudden concerned about killing babies? They're amongst the biggest supporters of abortion. You see, they all talk out of both sides of their mouths. Well, we might expect this political grandstanding to grow more intense in the Trumpster era, and so it has. Oh, yeah, this new budget proposal has been met with howls of disapproval from many corners. We're told that Trump's budget fight repeals Obamacare, mandates a border wall, swells defense spending, privatizes space travel, reforms student loans and food stamps, fights the opioid crisis, creates huge deficits, somehow manages to expand federal expenditures 13% while simultaneously slashing critical programs. How do you do that? It's a starvation budget. It's a bloated pork barrel giveaway and threatens Meals on Wheels. The average American, tribally inclined to believe one side's hype over the other, they hear all this stuff and wonders, what the hell is going on? But they're not true. I mean, Trump's budget, like all presidential budgets, is a meaningless document full of trial balloons that serve current political purposes rather than determining future spending priorities. But it does tend to show you just how sick the whole thing is. Oh no, budgets have no bearing on future actions by Congress or the president. Hey, if you sit down with your wife tonight, we're over halfway through the month of February. So we've lost about 6 weeks, okay? I want you, when this program is over, to sit down and establish a budget for the rest of this year. For the next 12 months, how much you're going to set aside to buy little marshmallow or chocolate-covered little marshmallow bunny rabbits for Easter? You got to support the candy companies, don't you? And think along the same terms for Halloween next year. You know, how can you cut back and give out smaller portions of food to all the little kids that dress up like ghosts and goblins and demons and everything else? Let's cut back on Christmas. Let's cut back on our food. A couple cans less of beer every night. Let's not get the new car. We'll go ahead and, you know, stick a bunch of money into re-overhauling the engine. We'll get a new paint job, new tires, new upholstery, et cetera, et cetera. Just see how long you can stay within your budget. It doesn't work. Because little Johnny gets his leg broken. Little Susie gets knocked up by the thug down at school. Hey, I'm sorry to be so guttural, but that seems to be the only way I can reach some of you people. Budgets not only have no bearing on future actions by Congress or the president, they have almost no bearing on what you can live within. Because things happen. The problem is the things that happen for government usually happen for a reason. Because a bunch of politicians have been bought off. Oh, let's not go take on Big Pharma and force them to bring down the cost of their overpriced drugs, man. Sick me. These are nothing but political documents. Presidents have no constitutional role in the budget process other than signing or vetoing a budget bill crafted by those who get their pockets lined, you know, in Congress. But unfortunately, the lawless and relentless rise of presidential power during this 20th century, and now the 21st, has not spared the budget process. But the Constitution plainly and unequivocally grants sole authority over the power of the purse to Congress. In Article 1, Section 9, Clause 7. Presidents are charged with executing the spending priorities of Congress, not setting them up in the Oval Office. But then who the hell knows what the Constitution is? The Constitution is whether you can get up and take a dump in the morning. That's what it is to most people. Worthless piece of paper that you might as well go ahead and use to wipe your bottom side after you've... Never mind, you get the drift. I know I'm offending some of you here tonight. I hope so. I hope I'm shaking you to your core so you get it. Financially, economically, from a welfare standpoint, and I'm not talking about the welfare like the government gives away. The welfare of the nation, we are in deep doo-doo. We're in trouble, people. I don't see us coming out of it. Not at all. Not in a healthy manner. I could go on and on and on with this topic, but why? I mean, understand that a budget, it's like an old newspaper. A story that is utterly irrelevant to the appropriations process. The only numbers that matter are last year's appropriations spending. And those numbers form the baseline from which the committees begin, not those suggested the White House budget. Let me tell you a story. Back in the 1980s, I was a part owner of a communications firm in Northern Arizona, Teledigit Corporation. We had two divisions, one that had a longstanding reputation in the community before I joined them, specializing in security and alarm systems, fire alarms, security, et cetera, et cetera. Richard was an interesting guy. I met Richard through some unusual circumstances. He had installed 6 business telephone systems for doctors, including Dr. Murray Feldstein, a non-Southern Baptist, you can well imagine. I met Richard, as I mentioned, through some unusual circumstances. I was working for a company based out of Phoenix who was in the early stages of selling business telephone systems to replace what Ma Bell and AT&T were grossly raping people to rent. They never could own them. And it was archaic junk that just was not growing at the times. We did a few installations in Flagstaff, which is where I was based. And I needed some service, and I talked to somebody who referred me to this guy named Richard Hartzell. So I called Richard. He came out and did some service. We chatted a little bit, got to know each other a little bit. Found out that he was never formally trained. This was a hobby of his when he was a kid, and he was brilliant at it, and he understood it all. Continued to work for the company in Phoenix. In October of that year, which would have been 1980, I think, I was working for the firm down in Phoenix for a month and realized that they were just garbage. They were selling used equipment at grossly inflated prices. So the phones had been repainted. You know, it was used stuff, allegedly refurbished, etc. I called them up one day and said, "You got some time for lunch? I'll be in town tomorrow." We set up a time for lunch. And as we talked and we ate, talked a little bit about phone business and the weather and the usual BS. And I asked him, I said, "I understand your background. Would you like to expand your business and begin to sell and install business telephone systems?" Well, it took him by surprise because he absolutely loved it. He loved working with telephones. He said, "This is very interesting." So we talked a little bit. And then I hit him with the shocker. "I will go to work for you. Well, what kind of money do you expect to be paid?" "Nothing." "What?" "I don't expect to get paid at all unless I produce. I'll do all the legwork. I'll put a mass mailing together. You pay for all of that. I come in. I work in the office every day. I work on this thing. I get this mass mailing put together. The addresses, go down to the post office, get it all shipped off, and we see what happens." Well, he couldn't believe that. "I'm willing to drive back and forth to work and my gas and my expenses, etc., and do this with no compensation?" Under those circumstances, yeah. We struck up a deal. We started work. 5 years to the day after I started, I was a partner in the business, and we stood there on a piece of land on Kaibab Lane, Flagstaff, Arizona, and turned shovels on a building of our own that we were building. We weren't renting anymore. By the time it was done, we did over 80% of all the medical offices in Flagstaff, over 65 or 70% of all the legal offices. We eventually wound up doing the Flagstaff School District, the city government. We did other city governments up in Page, Springerville, Eager, St. John's, Winslow. I was a salesman, but I was always out there on the installations. I loved the business. Eventually, we came to a parting of the ways. But that's because I'd gone as far as I could possibly go. Those are the things that made America great. Not because I was a part of it, because that's the kind of ingenuity that people did. I never laid back on food stamps. I could have done it. But it wasn't that long. The first mailing I did, we had a 72% response to our mailing. That is unheard of, ladies and gentlemen. Unheard of. Oh, and of that 72%, five of them did not buy. Five did not buy. A few months later, I did a mailing to the rest of those who either had not purchased or had not responded to the first mailing, got another 40-some-odd percent response. And by the way, the five that did not buy the first time, they did buy the second time. They'd had enough of the phone company with a continued increase in rates and the leases, and we had ways that we could get them out of their leases legally. Saved them money. We were able to buy up the existing cable that was embedded in the building if it was worth salvaging. That's the way America did things. We didn't need the damn Congress to do stuff and tell us how to spend and what to do. Nobody was lining our pockets. We weren't lining somebody's pockets to make sure business went our way. We weren't calling up Dennis DeConcini and John McCain saying, hey, look, bubbas, why don't we'll put a couple of $1,000 in your pocket if you'll vote for this and that so we can break up Ma Bell. No, we just went out and did our job. And in 1984, when Judge Green broke up the Bell operating systems and told AT&T, you keep the equipment, but Ma Bell keeps the lines. You're totally separate now. Within a matter of 3 years, the AT&T office in Flagstaff, Arizona, shut down their doors and left. They could not compete with us. Not the quality of product. They could not compete with the quality of service. We didn't charge people for service calls and emergency natures on Saturday and Sunday. Sure, if they just wanted a phone moved in the office, that was different. But if they had a service call, their service was down. We did damn near all the hotels in town. Albeit, being in Flagstaff, you had a lot of East Indians that owned Motel 6 on Route 66 Boulevard. We had one family. And they were Indian. They're from East India. I want my telephone system. Let's see. His name was Jack Kennedy. His wife's name was Jackie. And the kid's name, I swear to God, Carolyn and John. And I said, what do you got? Joe and Rose living in the back room there? They took on an American name. I'm sure they didn't do it legally. That's the name they used to draw attention to themselves. But some damn nice people. And they worked, and they worked hard. And some of them moved on to buy some of the larger properties in town with, name brands, Days Inn, stuff like that. That's the way we did things in this country. What the hell has happened since then? Now we're waiting for everybody to give us a handout. Can this nation afford it? No, I don't think so. But it's where we sit today. I look at the proposals of tax cuts. Oh, sure, Nancy Pelosi says, this tax package is $1,000 is crumbs. Yeah, well, lady, I'll take every one of those crumbs you want to throw at me. 10 days from today, I will be 70. My wife is 72. She retired 7 years ago from teaching. She's still working full-time as a substitute teacher. And she's in high demand because she won't take the crap of the students. They get out of line with their cell phones, she pulls them. Oh, boy, that causes a lot of hell. Kids go to school today. They've got the right to demand their rights. They tell the schools what their rights are. Well, my mama, she can't get a hold of me if I ain't got my phone. Your mommy ain't supposed to be calling you during your class time, brother. What happened in the days when a parent needed to reach a student for an emergency or a non-emergency or I'll pick you up or whatever, they would let her send a message to the schools. Remember high school? They had runners. that would take messages down to classrooms, either for teachers or for students. Or they would call the school and say, I got to pick my son up at 2 o'clock or my daughter because they got a doctor's appointment or their father has been in an accident, whatever the case may be. Teachers cannot teach anymore. They're babysitters. And that's why we're raising nothing but imbeciles in this country. Of course, most of the teachers are damn socialists. What's the difference in the word B-U-T and B-U-T-T? Well, one of them's what you sit on, but the other one is not. It is frustrating to me to watch the financial direction of this nation. My own personal FICO score has dropped close to 175 points in the last year and a half. Part of it's my own fault. Part of it is no thanks to my son. I'm getting it restored, but it's a lot of work. I've got two children that my wife and I brought into this world that have taken their lives down paths that we never could have envisioned. Is it because of us? No, I have to honestly say no, it's not. It's because they have surrounded themselves with some inept people. They've made some horrendously poor choices. And my wife and I at this age, in many respects, are paying for those choices that our children made. We have all three of our grandchildren living with us. One will graduate high school this year. And on her own, no assistance from her mother. Legally, we can't really assist her unless we just want to give her a whole bunch of money to go to college. She begins ASU, Arizona State University, next fall. She, on her own, has already been able to garner somewhere in the area of about $23,000 a year in free money to help pay for her education. 23 grand doesn't cut it all, though. I mean, you've got living expenses. She doesn't want to live at home. And honestly, in some respects, I don't blame her. I don't want her leaving the house at 5:30 in the morning or 5 o'clock to be able to drive across town when the traffic is already getting wacky with idiots on the road because she's got a 7 o'clock in the morning class for engineering school. She's wanted to be an engineer since she was 5 years of age, and I don't mean toot-toot, we're coming down the track. Since she was 5, she knew what she wanted to do. I've got one who'll be 14 a month from tomorrow. She's my buddy. She's the mouthy one. She's the one that I have the biggest battles with. But she's my buddy. We do stuff together. We travel together. We have breakfast together every morning. I get her to school. Her mother isn't around. It's probably just as well. But it exacerbates the child. It's still her mother. She still loves her mother. Then I got Sneaky Bob. Although lately I've been starting to call her Smarty Pants Bob. She's our 6-year-old. That's our son's kid. Well, Sonny Boy and his girl are off going through some medical treatments to clean the crap out of their bodies that they made some decisions to begin taking some years ago. An extremely brilliant, smart child. Unbelievable. She's in kindergarten. She can outread, out add, subtract, multiply, and divide any kid in that class. I give her a kid's book and she goes right through it. I go over to the bookshelf and pull off a copy of Runyon's Pilgrim's Progress, a big thick book written back in the 1850s or whatever the heck it was. And she can open that book up and start reading it. Now she doesn't understand everything the man's talking about. But she can read it. And she'll ask, what is meant by this? We've been blessed with amazing grandchildren. Through my tutelage and my working with my 14-year-old, I've helped her get to a better level in school she's ever been at in her life. That's cool. That's what we all have to do. But to pay attention to all this crap that's going on in Washington, D.C., and the fighting over the budget, taking money away from us, we need all this money for the infrastructure to rebuild the roads and the bridges, except that only a certain amount of that money is going to be guaranteed by the federal government. And, oh, that's right. Trump came out today and says he wants to increase the gasoline tax by 25 cents a gallon. Who's he getting his education from? Jerry Brown in Californicate? Trump has come to D.C. with promises to drain the swamp, and yet the people he's brought to the swamp are a cabal of rich bastard millionaires and billionaires. Don't kid yourself. Trump's being played. He's being used. I'm not trying to suggest to you that, oh my God, my candidate Hillary didn't win. Oh God, she's still coming out with more excuses. Every day this woman's got another excuse as to why she's not in the White House. You've got to be kidding me. She belongs in jail. Better that, the gallows of the guillotine, in my opinion. I mean, you got a bunch of real swingers in D.C. Child molesters and perverts and womanizers, and even some of the women are womanizers. And this is the kind of government we have. And ladies and gentlemen, it is what we deserve. Because we, the people, go to the polls every 2 years or 4 years or whatever and cast our vote and say, well, my guy won. I can go home and go back to sleep. And that's your problem. The whole damn nation's been asleep. And you're making the same mistake economically. But that's okay. The Dow's up 5 days in a row. Yeah, well, Bitcoin was up for a long time, too, and went from 17 down to 6. Oh, but it's back up to 10, so I'll be okay now. How are you going to be okay when you bought it at 14,000? And I use the Bitcoin as an example. It could be a stock. A lot of people never started buying Apple stock until it was way the hell up there, because now they were convinced. And that's exactly what you're going to do when it comes to gold and silver. You're going to remember this program at some point in time down the road. Why didn't we buy some, Martha? I know things was a tough, but we could have given up a little over here to get us a little bit over there. But you didn't do it. And that's what happened last time. You started buying when silver was at $38 an ounce. Because now you were convinced. You sat on the sidelines at $4.50 an ounce, but you waited until it hit $26 or $38 an ounce, and then you bought. And within just a matter of days, it hit $50, and bang! And you'll do the same thing with gold. It's the human animal, my friend. Stop parsing over whether it went up to 2 cents or 3 cents today or down. Make the decision. You're going to make the move. I'm not here to rape you, but every move you make, every ounce of gold or silver you make, I've got some limitations. I just ended a relationship with a firm I've worked with for almost 30 years for reasons I'm not going to go into with you. They're not important. But I began to question some of the efficacy, ETH, of the way they were conducting business, and I did not like it. They've been one of our suppliers for smaller purchase quantities. I have other options. Might cost us a few more pennies or a couple of bucks more for an ounce of gold, but I'm not going to be facing $25 shipping charges either at those minimum levels. Certain purchases, yes. If I go to one supplier, if we purchase less than a full box of American Eagles or Canadian Maple Leafs, if we buy less than 500, then yeah, there is a $25 shipping fee. Cost them money and labor to get them broken down and separate them. They got to package them differently, the whole nine yards. I don't object to that. It's the cost of doing business. But I will work for you. That's the key. I don't work for Republic Broadcasting, but I work to benefit them because I believe in what they're doing, what they're standing for. I believe in the broadcasters they've got over here. John and I go along so far together, and we go separate ways, and we always find a way to reconnect. Because that commonality is there. And I will be a part of that for as long as you'd like that. You can call me, I'm not going to say any time, although once again last night I got to bed at 1:30. I was up at 5:10 this morning. Well, and the only reason I went to bed at 1:30 last night, my six-year-old woke up and came to get me and said, "Papa, you got to go to bed." The six-year-old's thinking more about my health than I am. It's something I got from my grandfather. It's a genetic thing. I don't need a lot of sleep. Although I will admit to you that when I finished certain things I was doing this morning, I did lay down and go to sleep for about 2.5 hours. I did need it today. So, I don't know what you've picked up from this program today other than I am angry, I am pissed off, I'm perplexed, I'm frustrated at the lack of response from you listeners, not just from what I'm doing here to represent RBN, because it was never like that before. And I'm convinced because America's broke. I think most of you understand it and get it. And a lot of you would like to do something. And I can't do every single, I cannot fulfill every single order that people inquire of. Sometimes it's too small of a transaction that we will actually lose money by doing that transaction. If I had 8 or 10 small transactions and I was going to one of my local guys, I could pick it all up at one time, then it's a piece of cake. But I'm not going to be running back there every day or 2 days just to pick up, you know, a half a roll of silver, 10 ounces of silver, and a 10th ounce gold coin. I can't afford that, nor can you. I'll have to jack up the prices. Then you might as well go to the internet and buy from any Tom, Dick, and Harry and pray God you get your goods. Oh, and I won't ask you for your Social Security number. There's no legal reason for it. A lot of these companies out there will. Let's establish an account for you and your social. And who's your dependent if you kick the bucket? Who takes over your account? Oh, what's their social security? You don't need to answer any of that stuff. The minute you ever get that kind of question, say, "Thanks for your time. I got an emergency call. I got to go." Do what you have to do. Now, I have filled this entire hour up. You'll notice there was not one bit of break today. I requested that. It's very often, rarely, that I do that. I'm on a roll. I am ticked off. I'm angry. I'm perplexed. I'm frustrated. I'll see you on Tuesday if you care to tune in.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.